Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Rush coming. Mahomes floats it. Wide open, Kelce! Touchdown, Kansas City! An incredible combination. Mahomes to Kelce, and the Chiefs are running away with it.
Woo, baby, it feels good, man. It feels good. Can't play the game before the game, though, baby. We got 2 weeks to get this thing right. We know Tampa's a hell of a team, and they're playing in their own stadium where they're most comfortable, and we're going to have to go out there and, put it all out on the line just like we did tonight.
Travis, thank you.
You know it, baby. Chiefs Kingdom, this one's for you, baby.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jay Gutierrez on this AFC Championship victory Monday, January 25th, 2021. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very, very well. Thank you so much for the time. Let's get to it. They spotted them 9 points. But that wasn't nearly enough. What an overall impressive performance, offensively and defensively, from the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Just give us your overall thoughts based on what you saw yesterday at Arrowhead.
Yeah, that was the complete game I've been waiting for from the Chiefs since early in the season. You know, I mean, what a game defensively against a really good offensive opponent. They gave him one touchdown, other than. The gift that Mecole Hardman gave him. I felt like the Chiefs really had a great plan and got after it and really did a nice job on that side of the ball. And on offense, it was fantastic. I mean, Mahomes looked like a guy who'd never been in concussion protocol, and the toe certainly didn't look like it gave him much problem. It was what I was expecting from the Chiefs. I mean, I thought all along, they were going to, if they would play their game and play it for 60 minutes, they would win that game by double digits. I thought they were the better team and would win that game that way. If they played a full game like they did against the Browns the week before, I thought they would have an easy victory. So I guess in that sense, I'm not surprised. What does surprise me is we haven't seen that full game from the Chiefs in quite some time. So I wasn't sure we were going to get it. But if you had told me beforehand Chiefs are going to play really well, for 60 minutes, I would have said, yeah, they'll beat the Bills by double digits. And I feel like Super Bowl 55 is all about the Chiefs. You know, if they play that way again for 60 minutes, the Bucs are going to have a tough time keeping up.
So, Adam, one of the things we have still seen all year is the just consistent production. And in big moments, in games, big games, from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And it almost feels to me like you're watching two elite basketball players where we hear people say, well, you know, you can't, that guy's going to get his 30 points and you just can't stop. You can try to dedicate your defense to stopping him, but you just can't do it. I don't feel like you hear that as often in football. Usually it's like, well, they can make it a priority to take these two guys away and make somebody else beat them. Are you surprised that nobody seems to be able to do that with Hill and Kelce? Like, no matter what, they seem to still get theirs.
Teams can take those guys out of the game. I mean, go back to the first Buffalo game earlier in the season. Tyreek Hill had 3 catches for 20 yards. It can be done, but at what cost? I mean, you got to let the Chiefs run for 250 yards on you that way if that's what you're going to do. You know, it literally is a pick-your-poison thing, and it's tough to hold down everything the Chiefs have going for them. They're so resourceful that they have so much going for them that it really is a tough dilemma. And you can see sometimes the struggles that the defensive coordinators, opposing defensive coordinators, are having. So a great deal for the Chiefs right now, and they're making it work for them.
You know, and Mahomes just, he never gets flustered. And even when there was a defender in his face or someone that had their arms around him, he still able to get rid of the football most times accurately, or he can sidestep that initial pass rusher and create more time. I thought Josh Allen, that was the opposite. I thought he was flustered, and I thought it did affect a lot of his throws. And look, he wasn't really good last week. They only had 220 yards total offense and 10 points on offense. But I thought that was a big difference yesterday, that the tremendous pressure, the consistent pressure that Spags dialed up on defense really got to Josh Allen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, I love the Chiefs' game plan yesterday. I do feel like they had the Bills out of sorts for most of the game. And that's one of the reasons they were able to win and come back from 9-0. You know, I mean, it was 9-0, then it was 21-9. And the reason it was, the Chiefs were able to turn on the gas like that is their defense was really doing the job. So, that was a fantastic effort by the Chiefs last night. I can't overstate that. I mean, that was, the Bills had won 8 straight, 7 by double digits. And the Chiefs really just kind of controlled the game. From start to finish, but the errors the Chiefs made, the reasons they fell behind were individual type things. They weren't team breakdowns. So you got to hand it to the Chiefs. They really put it all on the line last night, and it was really spectacular to see.
We've had a lot of fun playing the quotes of Frank Clark talking about how he's going to see Tom Brady's ass in the Super Bowl, but. What about the performance of him? Because it did not up until this game seem like he was having the same type of year that he did last year. What do you take away from his performance in that game?
Yeah, no, nice effort by him, and as always, Chris Jones. I mean, he had another nice game, but that's nothing new for him. Yeah, Clark did play better, and he played better toward the end of the last season during the regular season. But maybe he's one of those guys who steps it up. In the playoffs, I did think he played a pretty good game last week against Cleveland as well. So that's what the Chiefs need. I mean, you look at how the Chiefs are built defensively. Hey, they have spent some money, but they don't have one first-round draft choice on that team defensively. I mean, Chris Jones was a high second-round pick, and Juan Thornhill was a second-round pick, and they had some other guys. But Matthew was a third-round pick, and Clark was, third-round, and I mean, there's not a lot of highly sought-after guys when they were coming out in the draft. So Chiefs are going to have to scheme some things up with a team like that, or with a defense like that. And they're also going to have to get big games from the guys they're paying. And I feel like that's been a key for the Chiefs the last 2 weeks, is they're getting their money's worth from the big three and the highly paid guys on defense.
I mean, Honey Badger's been fantastic. Chris Jones is so disruptive. And then yesterday, Frank Clark had 2 sacks. Sign me up for that in the Super Bowl. Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, we have to address the injury to Eric Fisher. Now, we see a few options there. They could go with what they finished the game with and have Remmers go to left tackle, Wiley at right tackle, and Wisniewski at guard. In that game, that Week 17 game against the Chargers, Martinez Rankin did start at left tackle, so they got a recent look at him at left tackle. And then the long shot of long shots, the possibility of Mitchell Schwartz coming back for the Super Bowl, although it doesn't seem likely. What do you think, number one, of Eric losing Eric Fisher, and number two, how they plan to replace him?
Well, first, that is a blow. I mean, obviously, you lose your left tackle, that's never a good thing, and look at the injuries and the things that Chiefs had to deal with this year on the offensive line. I mean, they remember that they went into camp down 2 guys from their playing group. 1 starter, Duvernay Tardif, of course, and then Lucas Niang opted out as well. So both those guys opted out. Lucas Niang would be playing by now if he had been playing. I mean, the Chiefs are so run down on the offensive line. And now they've lost both starting tackles. They're going to play in the Super Bowl without both those guys, plus one of their other starting guard, Osemele. So they're going to have Austin Ryder and Andrew Wiley left from their original starting offensive line. So they've really had to dig deep into their reserves here. And it's kind of a credit that they've been able to patch this thing together to the extent that they have. As far as what the Chiefs are going to do, I don't know that yet. But I think what the way they went last night after Fisher went out is a pretty good clue. You know, they, because Martinez Rankin was available to play. He was in uniform, and the Chiefs still shifted Remmers over to the other side. I think Remmers is one of the underrated acquisitions for the Chiefs. I think we talk about how the Chiefs have kept this together. I think Remmers has played really well, and maybe their best offensive lineman this season. So, you know, that guy's a key. I would expect he'd be the left tackle, and the Chiefs would go with the offensive line that finished that game last night.
How much credit just also goes to the efficiency of the play calling and offense, to where it seemed like, you know, I was really watching closely after Fisher went down. You know, Patrick Mahomes got the ball out of his hands quick. Like, it didn't, you know, the defensive lineman didn't really have much of a chance to get to him on the rest of the plays of that game. I'm just curious what you think about how important that part of the game is, especially maybe in this Super Bowl coming up now.
Yeah, the Chiefs will have to adjust some things. I mean, the Bucs have two good edge rushers and Pierre Paul and Shaq Barrett, and so the Chiefs will have to adjust some things. They'll have to, you know, we'll see how much faith they have in their tackles in that game, because do they help them? Do they go to a quicker passing game? We'll see. I mean, the Chiefs have 2 weeks to figure that out, and Andy Reid is pretty good, has pretty good track record in when he's got some extra time. So I think the Chiefs will figure something out, but it's going to be interesting to see which way they go then.
Adam, I spend a lot of time on this show trying to describe how great Travis Kelce is. And look, Mahomes is always going to be the headliner because he's doing things that nobody has done before. But Travis Kelce's doing things that no tight end has done before. And so he broke Gronk's record for most total yards, receiving yards by a tight end, if you include the playoffs. Now he's the only guy to have 500-yard performances in the playoffs at tight end. And yesterday, I mean, like, Matt Milano was supposed to make the big difference in defending him. Everyone knows they're going to go to him. And I know Tyreek Hill takes a lot of attention as well. But good God, Adam, 13 catches for 118 yards and two touchdowns? I mean, I don't know what to say, Adam.
Yeah, he's a beast. And what's amazing to me is, you know, guys in his position, you start wondering when they get to his age, 31, you know, when are they going to start to lose it? When do they start their decline? And a lot of guys do start their decline by then, but he's getting better. I mean, Kelce's going the other way. So he's kind of like Benjamin Button or something here, but it is a phenomenon. I mean, teams are having a real difficulty with Kelce. And, you know, I always feel like if Kelce plays well, the Chiefs are almost impossible to beat. So I'm surprised that opposing teams don't make him more the focus of their coverage. But again, as we know, that's difficult to do, because then Tyreek Hill goes off on you. But I just feel like when Kelce's on a roll, the Chiefs will almost never lose. That's the first thing I'm going to look for in the stat sheet, is how Kelce did, because if he's having a big game, the Chiefs are rolling.
Doesn't it amaze you, Adam, to see just the growth of Travis Kelce, not only as a player, but as like a leader and all of those things through the course of his career as well?
Yeah, no, I've always, and particularly this year, you know, he's been so, what's the word I'm looking for? He's kind of been so critical of himself.
You know,
you remember after the Raiders game, the game the Chiefs lost, I mean, he was beating himself up on social media, saying he cost the Chiefs the game, and he needs to do better, and they need him to play better, and he's going to do better. And then he's gone there even since. I mean, you remember after the play where Chad Henne got sacked late in the game against Cleveland, you know, he was beating himself up for running the wrong route. I mean, he's been so self-critical and so willing to take the blame for these kinds of things. And not that he wasn't earlier in his career, but I just feel like that's part of what you're getting with Travis Kelce, is a guy who's so self-aware. He's not going to be blaming things anymore on other people or throwing flags at the referee when he doesn't get a call. I mean, he's going to, you know, take those kinds of things more in stride. I do feel like it is kind of a different guy in that regard.
And the other guy that we have to talk about, of course, is Tyreek Hill. 9 catches for 172 yards. Had that 71-yard explosion. I mean, and you've got guys like Shannon Sharp tweeting that they've never seen a guy in their life accelerate like Tyreek Hill. It truly is. He's at a different speed. And even when things don't look, you know, like they're open, he makes it. He makes himself open. He turns something out of nothing into a huge play just because his speed and his acceleration is otherworldly. I don't even know who you'd compare him to, Adam.
Yeah, no. He's so fast, but he's also so quick. And I think it's his quickness sometimes that's a bigger advantage. No, I don't know. When Mecole Hardman took that reverse 50 yards, and, I thought he probably should have scored, and I'm thinking to myself, and this is unfair to Hardman, but I'm thinking, you know what? Tyreek Hill would have scored on that play, and it's not necessarily that he's just maybe a tick faster than Hardman. It's just that he's just got that elusiveness that very few people have, and it really is spectacular to see, and the Bills were just falling all over themselves trying to cope with that yesterday.
Well, you're not supposed to have the lateral quickness of Barry Sanders and the front line speed of fastest man in the history of the NFL type.
Mark Boerichter.
Yeah, there you go, Mark. Usually that's supposed to be like the long legs loping guy that can just, you know, zoom straight down the field in a straight line, but Hill's like faster than everybody, straight line speed. And
Jamal Charles speed.
Yeah. You see like Jamal Charles and Barry Sanders mixed together almost, and he can catch. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that Barry Sanders, I'd not thought of that comparison, but yeah, there is a lot of similarities there. Now Hill is faster than Sanders was, but yeah, that quickness, that ability to find, yeah, it's hard. It is hard to make that comparison, but yeah, I do like Barry Sanders because it is kind of like that. You think you got him cornered, but you just don't.
I mean, it's just, you already have the best quarterback in the game. It's got to be maddening to have to try to come up with a game plan for Hill and Kelsey. So we'll talk to you next week about this. But what's your early gut feeling about this matchup that we're going to see in 2 weeks?
Well, it'll be a difficult one. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are the better team, but the Bucs bring some problems that we've talked about already, you know, with the pass rush. I think that's going to be a real issue for the Chiefs, maybe the key to the game. How do they control Barrett and Pierre Paul, and can they give Mahomes enough time with this patchwork offensive line? So that's an issue. Brady's playing so well right now, and, I feel like that'll be an issue. But I like where the Chiefs are right now defensively. I think Spagnuolo in a one-game situation, I kind of feel like him at this point, like I do by Andy Reid. I figure he'll come up with something for Brady to help the Chiefs out here. And the bottom line is this, guys. I think the Chiefs are the better team, and I feel like this game is about the Chiefs. Like, I feel the same about this as I did about the AFC Championship game. If the Chiefs play their game like they did yesterday, the Bucs are going to have a tough time keeping up.
I feel like right now, Adam, that, look, if they blitz, let's say they blitz Tom Brady a bunch, he'll diagnose it some and score, you know, and hit some big plays. But I feel like right now with Tom Brady, it's about, can you get him to make those three big interceptions like he did against the Pack? Can you? I feel like, unlike the Packers, if the Chiefs do that, they're not going to come up empty-handed on three straight possessions if they turn Tom Brady over. If they get him to make just a few mistakes in the game, could that be enough?
Yeah, the Chiefs did have a couple interceptions when they played him a couple months ago. So yeah, I think it could be enough. I mean, even one of those things can turn the game. And, you remember Spagnuolo when he was with the Giants a few years ago? Mm-hmm. He was the guy who kind of drew up the game plan that beat the undefeated Brady and the undefeated Patriots. So there's a little history there as well. So interesting to see what the Chiefs have designed for this one. But I feel like the Chiefs are in a good place right now. I was waiting for them to finish the game off defensively, and they finally did, and play a complete game, and they finally did. I think the Chiefs are in a, injuries aside, are in a really good place right now.
That is Adam Teicher from ESPN. Adam, we'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right. Looking forward to it, guys.
Oh, the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
Ha, ha, ha! Super Bowl!
I got to stop for a minute.
That is awesome.
Yeah. too many sound clips, sound bites, too many guests, too much good work from Jake. He's got my head spinning. Give me 60 seconds just to savor it. The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. Last year, we were excited because the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. Now they're going back to the Super Bowl. Two in a row. And they're going to win this one, and they're going to be back-to-back champions. Just think about it. Think about what we're doing right now. Think about it. What the hell are we doing right now? We're talking about the Chiefs going to back-to-back Super Bowls. Man, oh man, I wish I could, like... Nah, leave it alone. I'd like to go back to have a nice talk with a 25-year-old me and tell him, hey, just chill, man. When you're 48, you're going to be feeling great.
That is awesome.
But it just, can you guys believe it? Like, Jake, I haven't even heard, like, I usually, like, last year I got a big text message about how you couldn't believe going to the Super Bowl. You're so businesslike. What a yeoman's effort, a workmanlike effort.
We're
you're
used
like
to this
Darryl
stuff,
Williams right?
right
now.
This is just what we do.
You're Darryl Williams. You're just picking up the yards that are in front of you.
That's what we do.
Okay, you're protecting me. If Nate tries to blitz me, you protect me. You pick the blitz up.
We defend the Lamar Hunt Trophy. That's what we do. Keep it here in Kansas City. Call people when we're in the middle
you
of
are so matter of. You are so matter-of-factual this morning.
You are very matter-of-factual this morning.
Dorn. Very matter-of-factual.
Really, Dorn's yeah. at? Where are you at, Dorn?
He's in his makeshift basement somewhere.
I hear Nate making all kinds of noises and squeals. I can hear him. He's excited. He sounds like he's in there porky-pigging it, jumping around and everything else.
I do have my pants on right now, but I feel like taking my pants off.
Oh, hey.
Right.
I do. I feel like taking my pants off.
Wait till our next guest comes on.
I don't know. What does that feel like? I mean,
I mean, it's just I'm fighting the urge right now. But
my point is, Jake, let me hear that noise you got you throwing out of P&L. Something. Give me something on this championship Monday. Yeah.
Let's go, Chiefs.
There we go.
I don't know. You follow me on Instagram. I was posting stuff at 4 in the morning saying curse words and Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. And
yeah, throw your handle out there. You'll kill a trap.
At Jake Goody,
on
baby.
IG. What about you?
At Jake Goody.
And you'll get what? You'll get cursing at 4
oh,
in the
yeah.
morning?
Oh, yeah. I give you the child right. warning. I say, hey, this is for if there's any kids around, you got to, or you're offended by foul language, you have 3,
what'd you say?
2, 1. Swipe
What'd
left.
You do? What'd you say?
Oh, it's about a minute and 40 long. Oh, I went off, baby.
I like to comment on some of your IG posts.
You like to mock me. I was saying
no,
you,
I don't.
You
no, I don't.
You mock
you
my
use
bare
a lot
feet.
Of hashtag. Do you use a lot of I told you, stop putting your bare feet on there, and then I just questioned the amount of hashtags.
I use hashtags.
A lot of hashtags.
I don't know how there was 30 of them and I couldn't read all of them. I was like, this is overwhelming. That's all.
Just takes
lot,
one. Dude, just takes one.
Hashtags?
Just
right.
takes one.
I don't know.
So I throw all
it
of them out there.
One.
Some people search one hashtag, whether it be hashtag.
Pound sign.
You can find this
pound
man.
Sign. He's, stay hard.
That's exactly right. That's odd. That was one of them, by the way.
Absolutely,
Nate.
It's one of them.
Like, let me. Hey, here's the deal. You know, there's a
stay
wide
hard,
variety
baby.
Of people that are going to land on that hash mark.
Yeah.
By the way.
I just want the follow.
You know, that's kind of a. That's yeah. That's a very
hey,
versatile hashtag.
I like the way this guy goes about
hey,
his business.
Stay right. hard, baby. When the end is uncertain.
Duty, huh?
What do you do when the end is uncertain? You stay hard.
Wow.
A lot of things to take out. I mean, we got Andy Reid talking about things getting haywacky. We had him
I don't know what's going on.
Interesting comments about McCole Hardman and his What did Andy Reid say about that? He said, hey, you had him off and keep
Nothing
him in there, you know?
It's better than Frank Clark. Play Frank Clark. Play Frank Clark and we'll go to break and we'll come back with Derek Johnson. All I want to hear is Frank Clark back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Just give me 1 second. I got to find it.
Oh, 1 second and you got to find it. I'll give you
I have so many windows open. I have so much going on.
If you had hashtagged this somewhere, you'd have found it.
Too many hashtags.
Stay hard.
We have a message for the GOAT headed into the Super Bowl.
Nah. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'll see his ass on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
Right? No beep here on the Border Patrol. We made that mistake in the first hour.
Yeah. Back after this on WHB.